Welcome to Biggest Geekcast. We're your hosts. I'm Randy.
And I'm Joe.
This is episode 169 of our show, and the date is Tuesday, December 12th, 2023. Shaking, bacon. What's new?
Not a whole lot.
No?
The Big Geek Emporium is experiencing a server migration still, taking a lot longer than they did the last time when we first moved from a different service, but apparently within that service, migrations are very slow.
Gotcha. The migration of it all. So I didn't get any gaming in this weekend, which was sad, and I'm probably not going to this weekend either, which is very boo-hoo-ish. But my school does end this Thursday.
All right. Yeah,
3 weeks off. Good deal.
Yeah, I don't know, El. No.
I don't think so.
No. Let me see. No.
Did you rephrase it somehow?
I did. I called it Fantasy Top 5. It watch these if you want to live.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's appropriate.
I wanted it to be catchy.
Hey, dude, if we don't get a lot of views, there's going to be a lot of dead people. Because they want to live. I said, if we don't get a lot of views, there's going to be a lot of dead people, right?
Yeah. We're going to rage.
No, I mean, if you got to watch this if you want to live, I guess mm-hmm. they don't want to live.
No, not watch this show, but watch these things.
Right. Okay. Clarification.
Yes.
I was hoping it was this show because that's so much cooler. But
right. It would be, but you know. You have to be cool to think of that stuff.
Yeah, you're not wrong, El. It is going slow. He said UPS can mail the server to Mexico in less time. Yeah, the migration is really dragging.
It is.
It's out of our hands, bro. We're not the migratory birds in this deal.
Part of it is the people I'm communicating with, English is not their first language.
Oh.
So I know that's coming from a position of privilege, but oh well.
Joe, you're so privileged.
Yeah. And so I think there was some communication error. They said they intimated that it would be right away. It would start right away. But right. It was like 2 days later and I get an email. Hey, your migration's going to start.
I know. That was tough.
And the guy said I'd get an ETA. But within that email, there was no ETA. They just said we would let you know when it was done.
Next week we're going to have DM Blackwall of Horde Wars going to be on the show. We're going to do some talking about that and some other things. And we hope in 2 weeks to see Mr. David Gwill. He says, we're arranging our people's talking to his people.
Yeah. So
it may happen. That would be really cool. Have a discussion about combat magic and all sorts of stuff. We can decide what things we want to talk about, but it'll be related to some of his blog posts, which were really, really good. So.
Right.
How was your week other than that? Just hectic with all the migration crap?
Hectic.
I think we're going to get to play this Friday, though. I forgot we're going to play this Friday.
Yes.
Online. So that'll be online. Fun. That'll be cool.
Yeah. So didn't play last week, but we'll be playing this week. Right, so just to clarify, though, with Big Geek Emporium, I can actually get there, but it loads fairly slow. So hopefully once the migration is done, I can actually work on this on the back end of the site. I can figure out what's making it slow and make it. I wasn't blazing fast before, but it was better.
Yeah. Joe had me check it out. I could get on. So even a layman like me was able to get on, but it's slow. And I clicked on one of the icons and got to the game. So it's working, but in a slow way.
Yes.
All right. Well, shall we get into the topic just straight away?
Oh, yeah. I don't think we have anything else to talk about. Let's get into it.
Nothing else. The inspiration for this was based on inspiration. We were thinking about what really inspires us to do some gaming, D&D, and we have talked some in the past over some, and we went through great detail. I think we had an episode on almost every type. And this time I just kind of want to talk about this inspiration. So we have a list, right? We got like music can inspire you, movies can inspire you, books, comic books, games, video, other games, other video games, board games, card games, actual plays, YouTube's podcast. Now, what I wrote down, I don't know if I've got a better name for this, but even like companies sometimes can inspire you. Might be other things too. I don't know. But Joe and I we're going to list some of ours and talk about them.
Some companies definitely inspire me in an opposite direction from where they're going.
Correct. Goodman Games a week or so ago definitely inspired me to move away from that. Though yeah. I do have one or two more of their Kickstarter still coming in. So one's getting ready to deliver. And I think that'll be my last one. I don't mean when I say that, I don't think I have any more out there, and I am not doing any more. Everybody can do whatever they want. It's fine, but they just really annoy the crap out of me. So, but inspiration. So how does different media motivate you, right? So let's talk about music first. Okay. I play music when I'm creating, when I'm writing adventures, when I'm getting ready for the week's session. I don't tend to play it during the game.
I sometimes do listen to music, but not much.
Really? Not for, doesn't do anything for you gaming-wise?
Well, I don't do it while I'm like writing stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do get inspired by listening, and yeah. Mostly, I don't know, it's mostly movie soundtracks that are from well-known adventure movies like Conan or Aliens.
I can dig that. Lord of the Rings was one of my favorites forever back when it was new. Yeah. But honestly, I tend to listen to a lot of metal. I mean, I don't know. Do you consider Queensryche and Disturbed? And I would consider.
Oh, there's metal. If you said to some people that Queensryche was metal, they would probably correct you in some technical way. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
To a non-musician, I will call it metal. The hair metal bands from the 80s, Queensryche and Disturbed. Even like sometimes I listen to that Celtic music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, because I'm often thinking about a cool scene, a cool combat, that's a big part of it. So I like to have that, you know, really going music. And I don't know if it just keeps me focused. The truth is I do tend to tune it out, but I love to have it going. You know, I have it playing in the background, and I don't think it ever distracts me.
Yeah, I can say that stuff like that can put me in some kind of a mood, but as far as direct inspiration, not really. Except, you know, like I said, the movie soundtracks from adventure movies that we've watched, most of us have watched, can get you in the mood and can be inspired. But I guess it's more because you listen to it and you remember the movie.
Right. Yeah, but I love the Lord of the Rings too when it's just what's the word with no sound? When there's no words. What's the song that has no
instrumental?
Word? Instrumental music. Yeah, I like that. Matt clarifies, he must be one of these elitists. Queensryche is progressive rock metal. Yeah. Fair enough, sir. I will take your definition and go with it. Patrick says he finds tons of modern video game soundtracks to be inspiring. I exclusively listen to music when I'm writing and being creative.
Huh. Oh yeah, I guess that can be too. I mean, instrumental. Not like the old 8-bit stuff, but the modern stuff. It's a lot like movie soundtracks.
Yeah, instrumental, orchestral. Yeah, I like a lot of instrumental, but it's got to be. I mean, I'm not a classic music guy. I can listen to it, but it's not really my thing. I have it on a longer list of things that I would listen to, but I have some classical music, but it's just not. But it's okay because the truth is it's in the back. That easily falls to the background. So
classical music, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Classical music, I have that down too as stuff that can get depending on which one, not all. Sure.
To me, if it's playing it, I guess when I think of classical music, I'm just mostly focused on things like Mozart and the other, you know, famous folks like in his era and later or earlier. But I mean, it's mostly, I don't think of the words. I just think of the sound. And, right. And I wouldn't choose it as just leisure music to listen to or to rock out. Like when, if I'm working out, definitely metal, something more up-tempo. But for even for creative juices as a DM, it helps. Now, as a player, I don't really listen to music to get me motivated to play. I mean, I'm already pretty pumped just getting to play.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What was I going to ask? Do you ever pick a, I guess we kind of hit that already.
Say that again.
I was going to say, do you ever pick a specific one for a mood? If a game changes, I wonder. No, I don't think so. I think even if I'm playing Rippers from Savage Worlds, or if I'm running 13th Age, or if I run Aliens, I would probably still keep it mainly the same. I would think so.
So yeah, because so with like classical or soundtracks where you're not listening to it for the words.
Yep.
It's more to release your mind from maybe what your background thoughts are or distractions.
Right.
And you can focus on the things that you want to.
Right.
Easier. Yeah. That's the way it is for me. I can't listen to, or not really. I can't really listen to regular music with words and whatnot, even stuff I really like, and really do any good thinking.
Okay.
Because if I do, mm-hmm. I'm not listening to the words anymore.
Right.
It's all in the background. So I figure I might as well just listen to instrumental stuff, and it works out better.
You know, I vaguely, point blank, says 13th Age has a soundtrack. I think he's right. I don't know if I have it, but oh, Patrick said something interesting. He says he will score his game sessions. Joyce says it's one of her favorite aspects of my games. I don't know what that means. Sounds like a musical thing. I'm not sure
You just have music playing and then you switch it to
different. Oh, yes. Patrick's done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard that as a way to set up the game, but I've used if you remember the Aliens game I ran a couple years ago, I had a video that I got from YouTube that I played as a beginning thing, which was pretty cool because it was like a person who was saying, hey, we need help. And you guys had to come back to the base. But I've never I don't think I've ever played I've tried it, but it just seems to be distracting. I know
if you play it too loud, for sure.
Well, it doesn't really matter. If there's any music playing, my wife is totally distracted. She's easily, you know, turned off. But I know when we play at our friend Ben's house, I think he has soft music playing in the background.
Yeah, I like that.
Something
that I don't usually get that, but I like that.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own, it's fine. I don't mind as a player. As a DM, though, if I had to I think Patrick's talking about, well, here comes this cool scene with the dragon.
So let me switch stuff up.
Switch that up to
be one more thing you'd have to think about and do.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool if he does it, but I mean, I guess I just have never really been driven to do that.
Right.
Then, of course, after music, if we're done with music, there's movies.
Well, yeah, and of course,
Lord of the Rings. Huh? Yeah, well, go ahead. Give them your top 3, 4, 5. What would be your movies to watch?
Well, I've got a couple of unusual ones in mind here.
Oh, do it. Hit us.
Lord of the Rings, of course. That's not the unusual one, but
no.
But it's a great inspirational piece of art for the group, because a lot of adventure stories are about one dude.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of group adventure stories, but Lord of the Rings is definitely there. It's kind of the progenitor to our game in a lot of ways.
Let me pause you, Joe, before you get going too far. Larry Elliott says, ignoring music in the background is almost as easy as ignoring his wife. Oh, dude.
Count on Larry.
Yeah.
Now, there's a new movie, a newer movie that the wife and I watched, and it's a bit of a stretch, but if you've seen Dave Builds a Maze, that is a group of people entering a dungeon that was made out of cardboard.
I've never watched it, but I've seen it's on Netflix. No, it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's bigger on the inside. They never really explain the why. It just does. It happens that way. But it's a bunch of folks who go in there together as a group. And there's some group dynamics. There's some annoying people in the group. And then there's people trying to get things done and and then some cool asides. So, yeah, it's on Amazon. Dave Builds a Maze. Silverado. Kind of in the same vein as The Magnificent Seven and a bunch of other movies where the first part of the movie is gathering up the group. And then the group goes and goes and does a thing.
Right on. I had Lord of the Rings, of course. I like Aliens, the second one, where the Marines go in and have to deal with the aliens. And what I like best about Aliens is how they go in and they're cocksure, right, as they head into the nest, and then they get their butts handed to them and they have to regroup. I always like when that happens in a tabletop game. I mean, secretly, I want you all to die immediately. But if you live and have to refocus, or like, you know, sometimes I remember back in the old days, you guys would face something. You're like, man, that thing was unbelievably powerful. We're never going there again. Not till we get a lot higher level. And then you guys would wait and wait and wait, and you'd go back and then you'd destroy it because you'd be so much higher level than was necessary. But it scared you because of what happened, you know. I thought that was a pretty good one. And of course, Tombstone. Tombstone is a big one for me. I love Tombstone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just gets me thinking. I think I like how it's like a frontier town. So a lot of, keep on the borderlands. You go to a frontier, you're on the edge of civilization. And that's kind of, to me, you know, connects a lot.
Right. So L, where is it at? What are the movies inspiring? All right. I think he's playing devil's advocate there.
Sure. Play it.
That's fine. So we're just reading through a list, and we're not really discussing the whys and wherefores and what. So that's good on L. All right. So in a lot of these movies, let's take Silverado.
Yep.
So you have an overall scenario of what's going on. It takes a little bit of time to get into it. You get a little background on all of your characters. So when you sit down to play, especially if it's your first session, and a Silverado is kind of like that. Most of the people don't know each other when they get together.
Right.
So when you sit down at the table and you introduce yourself to for your characters for the first time, if you do that, it's a lot like the introductory half hour, 45 minutes of some of these movies. Sometimes they take way too long
to
get everybody involved in the background settle. So I think a movie like that and Magnificent Seven both do a good job of telling you a bit about most of the characters, especially not all of the Magnificent Seven were like main characters. Mm-hmm. Some of them were side characters. Their introduction and addition to the group was a lot faster. Not all of them had a lengthy introduction. So the main guy, you got the most out of.
Yeah. Right. And I think sometimes not the whole movie may not be the most inspiring thing. Like I said, with Aliens, that part where the Marines, they land on LV-426, they go into the nest for the first time, they lose over half of them, they have to retreat, and then they can't get back. They got to deal with the aliens somehow, some way. Sometimes a scene in a movie will remind me of stuff that I've not done in a while. Like, you know what, Randy, you really need to put something in there that they just can't beat and make them deal with it somehow other than just kicking its face in.
Right, right.
Or, you know, something where like you'll see a nice twist where like maybe the guy they thought was the guy that was working against them ends up trying to help them all along. That happens a lot in movies, you know.
Right.
He seems so suspicious. Oh, wait a minute. He's helping us out quite a bit.
Right. And there's going to be some overlap here because some of the movies and books that we're going to talk about have been both.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
So for on the player side, what these things can inspire is characterization. So if you want to RP your character up more, I don't do a whole lot of that, but other people do, and do a little more play acting. you can get a different kind of character. You can even just use them as an example. This character is a lot like Wyatt Earp in his personality, right? Yep. So, and everybody should have a somewhat good handle on that, right?
Stop your grinning and drop your linen.
Right, right.
We found him. Yeah, Hudson, man. You know, Hudson. Yep. Hudson's, he's a one-liner machine, dude. Why don't you put her in charge?
Right, right. So, especially if most of the people at your table have a similar taste in movies and seen a lot of the similar things, then everybody should be on board of one what your character's like if you describe him like that. So that's from the player side. You can easily use these as springboards for characterization.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think also for a player, sometimes, I don't think a lot of players do this, but you could if you were to ever, because a lot of players tend to play a type, right? But what if you're playing a new class? You're like, I've never played a wizard. We have some people that don't play wizards very much. You could go to a movie and watch a variety of wizards, you know, everything from Morgan Le Fay and Excalibur to that crazy witch in Conan that he ends up throwing early on into the fire. I mean, or the, you know, Thulsa Doom, the big main guy, whatever he might be. I think it's rife with that opportunity too, as a player, to see how a wizard might act in particular. So, what did Larry Elliott says? Oh, wrong one. Oh, did you do that one, Joe?
I did that one on purpose. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Elfiz says that he thinks it's lazy if players get too used to being like blah, 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 blah. So, okay. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Some players need something though, El.
Yeah.
Some players aren't as creative to think of a unique personality. I mean,
and what do you mean by too used to? I mean, if I just every once in a while say, hey, this character is like that, I almost never do that. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while I do.
Yeah.
So if every time, maybe, but what does it matter?
And here's what a unique.
What does it hurt if someone patterns their characters after well-known media personalities?
I see how it could be annoying if they're trying to be every bit like that character.
If it's just a, hey, this is my sort of character's like this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't see that there's a problem.
Larry Elliott says, I have a character inspired by a dog.
Ooh.
He really does. So, yeah. Oh, Darth has a good comment. Look at this. He says, when I see a character in a media, I tend to pick up on the mechanics that would allow a similar PC, at least close to it. The rest is my own.
Yeah.
What about watching them? This is interesting. We should do this with books. Wouldn't it be interesting to see, especially in fantasy games, do you ever look and go, that's kind of how a fireball would work in D&D. That's how I envision suggestion working.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of fun too. Just saying, you know, when you see your game in the movie, granted, it's not very obvious or whatever. I mean, not always, but it's kind of fun.
We often need little seeds to help us out. Imaginations don't just stand by themselves. Even these folks who come up with these characters had their inspirations seeded by other things. J.R.R. Tolkien was inspired by old Scandinavian lore, right? Yeah. Yep. And other things that he borrowed from and helped his imagination along.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it just depends, right? Elle saying, everyone can't be Conan at the same time. Also, if you have Superman and Mar-Vell group with Mr. Fantastic and Plastic Man, variety, but doesn't always fit. I mean,
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either, but who's to say? I mean, we're talking personality. I mean, Superman and Mar-Vell are pretty different. And even Plastic Man and who was the other one he said, Mr. Fantastic, they're very different. I think that's true. Max says, not everybody's imagination works the same. Yeah, some need direct inspiration. I know of a player that it really helped them to see that way. And when I would, my wife, she really likes, if I'm describing an NPC, I could say he kind of talks like Christopher Walken. He looks a little bit like Joe Pesci. Right. You know, it helps her rather than say, oh, he's about 5'3". He's kind of chunky. He's mostly balding. He's got kind of a sharp tone to his voice, almost whiny. You know, I'm trying to describe, you know, Joe Pesci in most of his, you know, roles, you know, like where he's like, what does he say? You think I'm a clown? You think I look funny? You know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, except I don't know.
With several nasally. octaves nasally high, and octaves a lot higher.
Yeah. Oh, Cal's bringing in some news.
Uh-oh. Oh, hey.
You do it. Do it.
Ten Car just reporting Mike Merles has been fired from WotC. He's not gay enough, apparently.
I didn't think.
There's been some complaints about Mike Merles. So
I know, but I didn't think Merles was even still working for him. I guess he just got moved around.
Yeah, he got moved around. Hmm. Oh, Hasbro's laying off 20%.
Yeah, but I don't think that's mostly D&D guys. That's what, who said that today? Somebody said it wasn't mostly D&D guys. I don't know. Maybe I'm making it up. I don't know. We can only hope. We can always hope that Hasbro and WotC falls apart, but I don't think so.
Right.
And this is pretty standard. I mean, it's that time of the year. I would expect after the new year, WotC would be laying off half the people that work for them. That's kind of their modus operandi.
It's actually along. They've probably had more. They may have had more rounds of layoffs. This may just be one of a few.
Yeah.
These companies lay off this time of year, especially so they're done paying salary on the people and they don't have to have another salary round for them next year.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bois Van. Oh, Charlotte's in the chat. I must have missed her. She's been there for a little bit.
I did. Fiend you.
I am a fiend.
Yes.
Bois Van's in the house.
Right. So
I think movies are pretty rich for that. I think they're rife for inspiration, not just for characters, but all sorts of, like we said, there's all sorts of stuff you can pull from movies.
Right. So one of my movies that I'll say is inspirational in a lot of ways, Shaolin Soccer.
That's a different one.
Well,
explain yourself.
Well, it's a lot like it's a lot like The Magnificent Seven. So,
oh, is it? I don't know if I've seen it.
Yeah. So a guy gets a bunch of people he knows to play soccer to beat the bad guy soccer people who are using drugs and stuff to be dominant. And the drugs got some kind of nefarious power to it, right?
Okay.
Because they're shown in the beginning of it, they're all in the swimming pool being held down with weights with no oxygen tanks. Right. So, and they're being fed these drugs and they're supposed to be like supermen, right?
Okay.
So, but he doesn't know about them. So he just wants to play soccer and he gets his old homies back together. And they're all kind of secret martial arts soccer masters. And they all look like regular people. And one guy is humongous.
Right.
But he finally gets them all inspired in their soccer, inner soccer star comes out.
And, okay.
But it's, to me though, it has the element of getting a party together to go do something. But also, it's a bit magical. So, sure, you're not going to have a Wuxia in your D&D game because it doesn't really fit. But it can be inspiring for a magic system. Just thinking about magic systems.
Okay.
So you'd have to watch it, but right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We do a lot. There's the other end of it. Instead of seeing mechanics that in your game, in the movie, what if you see a movie and go, I want to emulate that? That's how a lot of games are created.
Right, right.
Right? Especially, well, obviously, ones that are based on IPs, that has to be the case.
Yeah, either one.
I don't know how it's pronounced. WXIA, isn't that the spelling? I don't know.
I pronounced it the way I see it. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whatever. It's fine with me. Don't matter to me.
Well, it's was somebody's fever dream, Mr. Max.
FFS?
For F's sake.
Oh. Oh, no, it's not. Disagree. Keeping together is overrated. It's underrated. Too many players want to go do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I say keep the party together. You got time for your doing your own thing.
She's talking about up here.
Oh.
Oh, okay. She's joking around.
Okay. I was like, well, it's fine, too. Some people like that. They like the players doing everything, and that's probably more, you know, much of a party if you're all running around doing crap without each other. But.
Right.
Anyway. What about books and comics and things? I know you were super avid reader. You still read quite a bit, don't you?
Well, I could walk to the library from where I lived when I was a kid.
I remember that. You spent a lot of time there.
So lots of library books. Lots of weird sci-fi.
I left a movie off. Princess Bride.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not just because it's got a little fantasy to it, but because it's got comedy. And you got to remember that sometimes we're just having fun and it can be funny. For me, that's an important thing because sometimes I want my game to be serious.
Super serious.
Yeah.
But we're always joking. So I don't know what you're talking about. We're always joking.
That's what I want. I didn't say I accomplish it. In my head, I'm like, this is going to be totally awesome, serious, a poignant scene. Never get
right,
one.
Right, right, right. So from... So as far as books, John Carter of Mars, the series. Okay. That's less of a D&D group campaign, more of a tone.
Mm-hmm.
So John Carter, if you haven't read it, was written back in the 60s. It's a sci-fi. I mean, Disney put out a movie that's superficially the same.
Yeah,
a lot different. And John Carter is a fellow back in the 1800s, late 1800s, who gets transported to Mars. But Mars isn't like the Mars that we know. So this was written back, it might have even been before the 60s. It might have been before.
Wasn't it Burroughs?
Yeah, it might have been like early.
Edgar Rice Burroughs, yeah. So it had been like 40s, 50s. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been before the 60s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know a lot about Mars, but according to his book, Mars has an atmosphere but it's technologically processed.
Way early. Look at that. Matt Thompson.
They didn't know a lot about Mars except that it was up there in the sky.
Right.
They had telescopes. But apparently on the Mars of John Carter, there's an atmosphere and there's plants and there's a bunch of different people living on it. And so he gets sent to Mars, transported to Mars, and has a bunch of adventures. And it's kind of the reverse Superman, Randy and I were saying.
Yep.
Because he comes from Earth and goes to Mars and gets superpowers. except with John Carter, he's not just an average Earthling, because from
he's a Civil War hero, right?
Well, he's a Civil War hero, but also he can't remember not being a 30-year-old man-ish, right? He can't remember being a child. He can't remember.
I must have missed that somehow.
Yeah, so it's in the very beginning. He's talking about his life, and he says he can't remember a time when he wasn't a young man. And
wow.
All these people that are in his family, he's bounced them on his knee, and now they're old men. So he's been around a long time.
Oh wow! Okay, so I completely missed. I just went over my head. Somehow I missed that.
Yeah, so he's special already. They don't get into it except that. So that's a way of saying that he's not just a regular dude. And so he gets transported to Mars, has adventures, and. Really, it's more about the tone, which is a great tone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's I guess he's more Captain America than Superman. He doesn't have all the Superman powers, but he can practically fly.
He got the big leap power in Mars.
The big leap power. He's really strong, but that's Captain America too.
Yeah.
But it sets a neat tone, and it's an easy read. It's a short book. Oh, Point Blank says John Carter, Doc Savage, and Little Abner. I've heard of Little Abner, but I don't know much about Little Abner. No. We're inspirations for Superman.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Cool. What do you think of, well, I think like Lord of the Rings and Dune. I mean, Lord of the Rings is the template for a D&D game, but like Dune also, then those two books are for like intricate worlds. Mm-hmm. Those are books you want to read.
Also, yeah. Magic system.
Yes.
Yes. With Dune, or a way to think about psionics in a way that's different from spells and magic. Mm-hmm. So you can, unlike the Dyranny series, which somebody way back in the day tried to make it out that the magic users in Dyranny, the Dyranny Chronicles, were psionics somehow. It was in a Dragon magazine article way back.
I don't think you liked that one. I remember that article. I don't think you cared for that because they did that.
No, because it was stupid.
Yeah.
So they were clearly magic users. Now they had there was a different magic system. So it appeared differently. There were some things that they did psychically, right? They could read, some of them could read minds and whatnot, but it was very, very much wizard-like.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I mean, that's kind of why I've been thinking I'm going to be reading Lord of the Rings. Well, I've never read the full book all the way through. I got through halfway through. What's the second one? Fellowship? No, first one's Fellowship. Second one's Two Towers. And I read The Hobbit and a couple of times, but I've been watching, well, I won't say it because I'm going to talk about it later, but I watch a lot of stuff on Lord of the Rings. And I think I'm going to try to sit down and read through it because when a couple of videos that I've watched, they'll read snippets of his language. I guess because I'm older now, I'm really fascinated by his use of language. I really enjoy his, what's the word I'm looking for? Just the way he writes. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna try to dive into that again. Yes.
I was looking at the comments. Which person? Who, what writer were you just talking about?
Tolkien,
yeah.
Lord of the Rings. And I like Dune too. I think L's got it. He says this is Randy and Joe and Randy's appendix in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, you have, I guess over the years, there's different styles of writing that were popular. Mm-hmm. So back in, I guess, when John Carter was written, when they were doing serialized science fiction, mm-hmm. The writing was different because it would come out in chunks. And there was a similar thing. And when The Three Musketeers was written, it was done very similarly. It would get published. I can't remember what it was called. It wasn't the Penny Dreadful, but it was something like that. Penny Dreadful was a TV show.
But it was also a type of a magazine, right?
Right, right. So you get little bits of stories every however often it was published.
I was serialized. Daily
or weekly or whatever. But so the writing style was different.
Hmm.
And I think that the early science fiction writers came out of that. And they had to adjust how they wrote once they got more into the novel, when they had had a novel structure, which is different from having serialized, because you had to have little pockets of story.
I liked Herbert's writing too in Dune. I can't say, though, I like the concepts of the stories. I'm not a big fan of Lovecraft. His words are too big for me sometimes. Dude, he pulls words out of nowhere. I'm like, are you sure that's an English word? And I've looked him up. He's always right.
Right.
It's a word of some sort. But
it's a word.
What do you think of the Dresden Files? I put that as one of mine.
Well, the thing is
it's not a classic, but I think there's something to it for gaming.
I really like a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, and you can look at it for different things. I wouldn't look at it as inspirational for putting together adventures necessarily, because a lot of it is, there's one tough guy. Mm-hmm. All of the challenges that are presented to Harry Dresden are things that he deals with basically on his own. He might have a sidekick or two, or his dog, but
I think the excitement's there. But hey, I gotta go somewhere. I'll be right back. Give me a moment.
No.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I really like Jim Butcher and his Harry Dresden. I think you can look at it as how you can put a magic system together and lore for your world and different factions. A lot of these books are great for that. Dune is great for that. There are several factions and lots of great world building that you can borrow from, or at least just be inspired by when creating your own. If you want that in your game to that degree, I would say you don't necessarily need to get that detailed for your game, because most of it, your characters aren't going to see. So, but that's me. Less is more for me. Elric. Yeah, Elric is all right. I didn't really get into it. Mainly because the main character wasn't, in my opinion, very relatable. Didn't really get into why I should care about anything that he did. I didn't know that Warhammer was ripping him off. I thought it was more of a Tolkien, not Tolkien, a more of a Tolkien isn't the right word. It's more of the Lovecraft, I thought. Yes, Tom and Huck are adventurers, so you might be able to glean something out of that too. Let's see. Charlotte is also saying Warhammer even took the symbol of chaos from the Elric comics. Are you saying that it's more of a steal from the comics than the novels? Because the comics might be, you know, how when there's a comic that's inspired by other media, they often take departures because it's creative media, and they always do that kind of thing.
The eight arrowed star of chaos. Because yeah, Elric is definitely was on my list for.
Yeah, Charlotte was saying that Warhammer has been ripping off Elric for a long time. And then she said, as a specific example, the symbol of chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make sense. I'm sure you already blown past it, but with Dresden, I think what I like is just the feel of the bigger than life characters that are in there. And especially D&D has bigger than life monsters. And so I think it feels somewhat D&D-ish, though it is a modern fantasy story.
Right. Well, the thing is, though, you do a lot of the things to your party that Jim Butcher does to Harry Dresden.
Oh, I do?
Almost everything he fights is way too powerful for him to fight.
Fair enough.
Almost always. He's always got to find some angle or have a setup, something he's set up for a while to get over on the big bad guy.
Right.
And most of them are out of his league.
Is that it, Charlotte? Is that the star we're talking about?
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mudsword. Yes, this, I know you're joking. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have, it's going to be, if we actually publish it, we're going to try to keep the page count to the most reasonable level we can.
He might do that. I'm writing thousands of pages of useless information.
No.
No, dude. Smaller the better.
I want to call it the bullet point game. Mm-hmm. Bullet points. It's all bullet points.
Okay. I'm intrigued by this. Mr. Bob Vancy says he thinks Solomon Kane doesn't have enough love. I've read one story and I really liked it. I've got an anthology. If I read a few more, I probably would agree with you. And isn't that another Burroughs character?
I think so.
Rice Burroughs?
I haven't read it. I tried watching the Solomon Kane TV movie on TV one time a while back, and I just couldn't get into it.
Dude, you mean the one with the dark-haired guy? 2009?
Okay. I don't know.
Hold on for a second. Because I liked that one quite a bit. I was kind of impressed. Hold on a second.
I was trying to get into it, and I was just like, ugh.
Joe, you have trouble getting into things. Is that your issue?
Solomon Grundy wants love, too, according to L.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Dude, I love that movie. That was cool. Courtesy IMDb. Robert Howard. Thank you, Point Blank. I couldn't remember.
Robert E. Yes.
Yeah. Comic books, baby. Justice League and Avengers. That's perfect for inspiration for D&D in group adventures.
Well, yeah.
X-Men.
Justice League. Well.
Good ones.
Justice League or the X-Men? I mean, because X-Men's a little bit less powerful, I think. Especially when the professor isn't around to save their bacon.
I would say the X-Men are more like 5e D&D because they get all the crazy powers and the weird looking, you know, insane.
Yeah, I'm thinking more back when the Beast was wasn't blue.
Yeah. But I liked I think the Justice League kind of is cool. You got some iconic, you know, sort of characters there. I've stolen scripts from comics for my adventures sometimes.
Yeah.
Just use them. So
I just think
not
some of those the Justice League, especially like when you're doing the different Justice League groups, because there's JLE, Justice League East.
Justice League Europe. There used to be JLA.
JLA, that's what I'm thinking of.
JLA, JLE, Justice League of America. There was some other Justice something, I don't know. They've had a book party.
Because they have lots of cosmic powered dudes that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
That's what Max saying. But I mean, it's not the characters per se that I think are just D&D characters. There's some inspiration. But I just like sometimes the stories are good, especially for solo villains. Because, you know, I'm a fan of solo bad guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like really powerful ones, and that gives me some ideas for that. I think, what was I going to say? Lost my train of thought. Oh, well, something about comic books. I forgot what it was.
I don't really, I was never much of a comic reader.
Right.
So most of mine have been Spider-Man, a bit of Doctor Strange, because I like the magic users.
Right.
And you know, the Doctor Strange movie, it was, I wanted to like it. But then I had, when I looked at it again, I'm like, oh, there's so much about this I don't like always conjuring weapons.
Yeah.
Like, nah, Doctor Strange really didn't do that.
Yeah. I liked the Marvel adaption, but I didn't think it was like fabulous or anything.
Right.
I liked it. I mean, it was fine.
Well, of course he got gender swapped, L. Moon Knight, according to L, just got gender swapped.
That sounds about right.
Right. Might as well.
Mac Thompson, every Dungeons and Dragons campaign should be modeled after Gru the Wanderer. Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I have looked at a little bit of Gru the Wanderer.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knights of the Dinner Table. Well, that's a parody of a D&D group anyway. They're still plugging away. They're like on issue 311 or something. So... hold on a second. I'm going to have to go again. Give me a second.
Now, Asterisk I've heard of, but I don't remember anything about it. So someone's going to have to post something there in the comments for me to grab onto because I have no idea. Another book series that I liked was the Rift War Saga. And that's mostly for its magic system. And the magic system in that, for the most part, was the will and the word. So you had to gather your will and use a word to release it into being. Black Moon Chronicles. I'm not familiar with that either. So Rift War. Now I've been listening. Oh no, Monster Hunter series was good too. It's good for how to adapt, I think. It does a lot of things that a lot of urban fantasy does, and that is it takes all the ghosts and goblins and monsters we know about and puts a spin on it and uses almost everything. I think that he also introduces some obscure monsters from cultures that most of us have probably never even heard of, but they end up being pretty cool. So if you're not familiar with Monster Hunter series, go out and get the first book. I think that you can find it for pretty cheap. Yeah, the Belgariad was fun. Oh, you know what? I just got two things mixed up. The Belgariad is the magic system of the will and the word. In the Rift War saga, you had low magic and high magic. And the main character, his home world, because basically what happens in the Rift War saga is there becomes these two worlds are connected. And one of the worlds is invades the other. And the main character is abducted to the other world and learns high magic. He was trying to be a wizard on his home world, but he didn't get low magic. He couldn't do it very well. But when he got to this, went to this other place, it unlocked his potential, and he was able to work high magic. And even when he went back, low magic was, I think, a little difficult for him, but he eventually got over that. But it was a pretty good series. Yeah, Belgariad. Yeah, there was the Belgariad and the Malorian, and I think the Belgariad five-book series by David Eddings was good. I think the Malorian, I think they were he was drawn way too much from the well when he got to that series. But the Belgariad, they had the will and the word. Very simple magic system. They had sorcerers, and all the sorcerers in that series, they summoned, I believe, demonic spirits, which I think is a cool way to have different systems in your game. So you can have wizards and you can have sorcerers and you can make them different. And that might be one way to do it. Make the sorcerers all demonic like.
Sorry, we have a little bit of an emergency here, but nothing. I think we finally got it under control, hopefully. Sorry about that, Joe.
That's okay.
All right. So we're on to the Bulgaria. Oh, Pirates of Dark Water. That was a pretty cool TV show. I believe it was a TV show.
Let's see. Thorgal is a great one. Conan, but with some super science to go with sorcery like Thundar. Yeah. Thundar is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, they're talking about comics, huh? Okay.
I'm not sure.
I actually like superhero comics for fantasy inspiration.
Master of the Five Magics. I read that back in the day, too. Has a neat magic system. Or actually several. Five different magic systems. One of them, Randy would love, because it's the system of making magic items.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, in making the magic items, it's a ritual. And depending on the item you're trying to make, they're all complicated and very precise. If you even screw it up a tiny bit, the thing you're trying to make is going to go haywire.
And all your time and money is ruined.
Yes.
Perfect. I love it.
Right. So this one, the way they introduced that particular school is they were making a magic ring.
Mm-hmm.
And the magic ring, I think the final touch on it, they had to wait for 100 years for all the stars and planets to align completely properly, precisely. And then they just tapped it with a special hammer. That's all they did. They did this big ritual, and the only thing that they really did to the ring itself was they tapped it. Dink. But they had to do it at the correct stellar alignment, which only happens once every 100 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that would be great in Randy's world. That's why magic items are so rare, because it takes 100 years to make one.
And then some centuries, they fail. They go to make it and say, sorry, didn't work.
Yeah. Imagine waiting 100 years to tap the hammer and just a mote of dust falls from the roof and falls on the magic circle and screws it up.
My world of Dardania has 2 million years of history and 4 magic items.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, but he did. So he learned, this fellow learned a little bit of all the different 5 magics.
Okay.
But, hold on a second. I got to get my dogs.
All right. You got to go now. All right, man. get them dogs. Joe's dogs. They don't understand the importance of a podcast and how what important things all of us are talking about. It's pretty crazy. I'm gonna try to catch up because you guys have been talking about cool comic book stuff and I missed out. I did get a second issue of Wraith of God by Aaron Lopresti. I don't know if anybody got that on Indiegogo. It's a pretty interesting comic. He's a kind of a vampire hunter dude and set in the Wild West. It's pretty cool. Kind of a Deadlands feel, but not exactly. What other inspirations that I didn't get to talk about? I said the JLA and comic books. I mentioned Dune. Yeah, I think those are kind of my big ones. Dune, Dresden Files, The Hobbit, Martian Tales, and then the JLA. Okay. Talked about music, movies, comic books. What else? One thing that struck me as inspirational that I think I do a lot now, not just because we're on YouTube, but I watch other YouTube shows. They don't all inspire my game, though. Hold on, before I do this, what is BD? Charlotte Williams said, there is a good Elric BD. They make some Conan ones every now and again. What are BDs? Because I have is that a comic book? I'm not sure. Anyway, so I listened to a few. My number one is probably In Deep Geek. There's some other ones called Nerd of the Rings and The Broken Sword. I'm rambling a little bit, but okay. Bon Désiné, Bond, is that French? Been a long time since I've had to pronounce French. Bande dessinée. It means graphic novel or comic book. Okay. Oh, I have one of those. I have an Elric one like that.
Comic book with a hardcover?
Yeah. Bande. Is that, it's not Bande. Mm-hmm. It's a bone desert. I don't know. I'm sure Mr. Bobain could help us. He was on here. I don't remember. But I was moving on to YouTube and podcasts that can inspire us.
Okay.
Have you listened to In Deep Geek or Nerd of the Rings or The Broken Sword, Joe?
Nope.
Those are all, well, they do, I think they do, one of them does, they all do Lord of the Rings. Most of them do Game of Thrones, and I think one of them does Harry Potter as well. And they basically...
What do you mean do?
Right, I'm going to explain. So one of the things was, what if Gandalf had gotten the Ring of Power if he had kept it?
Oh.
What if, or who is the king of the Balrogs? How powerful was Shelob? They go into, and now some of it's guess, right? They try to
take all of it, you'd have to.
And they're guessing. But if
Gandalf gets the ring, he becomes the new Dark Lord.
Correct. They said that for him. They said that for Galadriel. And it was very, and actually the one guy, I think one of their analysis was that at some point he would have killed Aragorn.
Oh, probably.
Because he would have had to, because at some point Aragorn would be like too much of a goody-goody, and he wouldn't be able to control things.
He could have.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the ability to, because if he took the one ring, he probably would not feel constrained anymore. He wouldn't have to be constrained.
Yeah, a little bit like the What If comics, Flady. Yeah. A little bit. But they also go in deep into the lore. It's quite, and again, I'm not an expert. Most of the lore that I've learned from Lord of the Rings, I've learned through In Deep Geek, or either them or Nerd of the Rings or The Broken Sword. But I do find that sometimes they're really fascinating. I didn't even know there were 13 Balrogs at one point. So, which is
that must have come out of the Silmarillion or something.
Yeah, like that's kind of terrifying. But,
I don't doubt it.
Some elven warrior actually killed a Balrog solo. But he died in the process. That was normal. Sure. And Shelob, it took all 13 of them to save Morgoth from Shelob. Shelob was going to kill him, and it took all 13 to run her off. So she was not Shelob, Ungoliant, the mother of Shelob. Ungoliant, the mother of Shelob. My bad. And then the other day I heard that this guy said he thinks that the way Tolkien wrote Ungoliant, she was really an aspect of Morgoth.
And oh, it was okay.
One of his insatiable desire. Yes, thank you, Patrick. Ungoliant, right? I kept saying Shelob, but I meant Ungoliant.
Yeah, there's a bit of a delay from when we talk to when they're able to hear and then type. So
right, I kept saying Shelob. I meant Ungoliant, and she was a massive spider thingy as well, and the mother of Shelob. But yeah, I find that a pretty inspiring podcast. Do you have any podcast or YouTube? It's a YouTube channel that you listen to that you think is pretty fascinating.
Really? No.
Besides us,
I do our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I watch a couple of YouTube videos with my wife now and again, but most of the time I'm not in front of a computer, so I don't listen to. I used to.
You used to do it a lot and you would tell me about them. And when we started the podcast, I slowly got sucked into it and you started pulling away.
Right. I used to listen to a lot of gaming podcasts. And then I said, I don't like many of them.
I've cut a lot of them down.
And then I was listening to a lot of politically based shows.
Yes.
And, you know, migrated from around, and then they all just say the same stuff, so I just stopped listening to most of them, or if pretty much all of them.
Yeah, I actually like a few, and believe it or not, one of them that I listen to that's not going to be popular here is Dungeon Craft. I like parts of Professor DM, the Professor Dungeon Master. I know he can lean to the left side of things, and he can be a little bit, in my opinion, a little namby-pamby, loosey-goosey with rules, and that's not the end of the world. But I think sometimes there's nuggets in there. If you ever watch some of his crafting videos and some of his you know, he'll describe adventures that he ran for his main groups, and sometimes they're pretty interesting, and I enjoy almost like a story time element there. Most his takes on WotC, I think, are close to spot on, but he seems to always hold back just a little bit. He doesn't really want to give it to him.
Right. Yeah. The stuff I watch on YouTube is, I try to stay away from anything that's real politically based because it, you know, like you, it'll get me going. I can't believe they're doing that, but we should believe that they're doing it because they've been doing it.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff that we don't like. But so I'll tend to watch stuff that's more fun and entertaining. Mm-hmm. And if it's gaming related, I've watched some of the Black Magic Craft, mm-hmm. which is DIY tabletop terrain type of people, or painting, miniature painting. There's this other fella. I can't remember his name, though, but the name of his YouTube channel is something like Dave Puts Junk Together. So he gets a bunch of little plastic doodads and makes little things out of them. And his show is just showing you how he puts all these things together. And it's interesting in that way.
Yeah. Point blank's got his, it is his ultimate dungeon terrain. That's kind of cool.
Right.
And Patrick Demo says he's begun to watch Black Lodge Gaming. I have them in my rotation. I don't know anything concerning about them. I think they're okay. I'm not going to say it because we all have strong opinions. It doesn't matter.
Bo Paints Minis. No, I've never heard of Bo Paints Minis.
No.
I mean, okay. So there's this other fellow, Miniac. All right. Mm-hmm. So he paints minis. The channel's called Miniac, like Maniac, but with an I instead of an A. And he's very well done.
Yes.
But I am never going to get that serious about painting because it's just,
I'm never going to paint.
It's going to be more like, so Black Magic Craft has a little down and dirty painting.
Right.
And it doesn't take him to be very long. It would take us because we're not used to painting.
But sure.
I think if we did a few, we would get our a routine, and it would be good enough for the gaming table.
Our friend used to be a friend of ours. His name was Bob. You remember him, Joe?
Yeah.
He at one time was really pretty good at speed painting and getting a lot of minis done that looked good enough. Like for me, they'd be fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not the details. Like Patrick is phenomenal.
Right.
But I mean, I don't have a desire. I'd honestly rather pay Patrick. If I have a cool mini I want painted, I'd say, hey, Patrick, I'll give you $30 to paint this dude or whatever he needs, which is probably too cheap. You might say, try again, Randy. His artistic skill is worth more than that, but he might cut me a deal. He's painted a couple for me, like my birthday and Christmas, and he just does an awesome job, and I have no interest. I like the Beckme Berserker. And it's funny because I'm not playing Beckme, but I just like how that guy, I like how he rolls. I get it, David. David Gwill says I should give it a shot. Not that hard. Feels good getting it done yourself. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Some people.
Yeah. And Darth says he likes lore videos. I can get into that. And you know what? The truth is, this is going to sound arrogant. I listen to us.
Ice Tail says if it has at least two colors, it's good enough.
You know that, Joe? Joe doesn't. I listen to our podcast every week after we do it. Mine is because I want to mine it. Sometimes we have ideas that I will forget. They come up on the podcast or the show. And so I listen to it again and I want to hear the sound of my own voice. No, that's not, that's not it. But
I just do not like the sound of my own voice.
Oh no, it's horrible. But I like
my voice is that bad.
My voice is horrible. Yours is good.
We were talking about me. Everything's about me.
Let's not talk about Joe. Let's talk about me. Mm-hmm. So, I don't like hearing my voice, and I'm sure you don't like hearing your voice. That's pretty standard, but you have a good voice. You have a voice for radio, and I have a face for TV, so it works out pretty good.
Elsa says mini painting is like a proctology exam. It's only enjoyable after it's over.
Yeah. The Whispering GM. We haven't talked to our buddy. Taylor. Remember, it was used to be called Clerics Wear Ringmail.
He's changed
this podcast to The Whispering GM.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I really like
this. I just haven't listened to anybody in a long time.
His is a podcast. He has a YouTube channel too, but it's just his voice.
The guys that come on here who are in the chat and have their channels, I like all of them.
Yes.
I just I don't set aside time to listen to them, unfortunately, anymore.
Right.
And I probably should. I probably have the time
at this point. Yeah. Patrick confirms that didn't like to hear the sound of his own voice. But I do, like I said, we have nuggets of things. And of course, you know, I listen to others. These are ones that recently inspired me. I got a backlog of Mr. Bois Van's videos I need to get to, but I watch less than I used to. And I really have a hard time now. Not a hard time. If some hot, like the Goodman Games thing got my motor running a little pissed off. And so I'll listen to some of the, you know, the gossipy crap or the, well, what's it called? Not the clickbait, but kind of
the social woes.
Yeah, in gaming. But those aren't really what I'm all that excited for. Mm-hmm. I guess those are the ones that now Legion of Myth, I do tend to listen to their, when I can, on podcasts, because they have really, they're like us, they have long form, like Sunday afternoon videos where they deep dive into certain things like in Palladium and stuff. So, yeah. Oh, which by the way, I would love for the people in the chat, you Palladium experts, I need to pick, I got a $75 gift certificate and I'm going to do the Christmas bundle. I have several books, probably about 15 or so books of Palladium, but I need some suggestions for what would be really good books for lore, because I mostly get Palladium books to read. And so I'm about to buy a whole bunch of those. I have heard about that. That's a little bit of a kerfuffle. He says, oh boy, when Randy watches Indestructiboy talk about Candelabra Obscura, he will wet himself laughing. I will did. Yeah, I have heard nothing but bad things about that RPG.
I've never heard of it.
Either one, L. He says, riffs or fanny. Any fantasy. Now, no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm not into After the Bomb. I would say Palladium fantasy or riffs. That's the two things. If you're really a big fan of Beyond the Supernatural or some other setting, I would appreciate if you would send me one. I'm getting ready to put my request out so I can get the box and then probably get one more thing. I'm leaning toward Chaos Earth. That looks like a fun one. That's the setting like right after the riffs happened. and it looked kind of fun. So,
I've never heard of this Candela Obscura, or
that is the Critical Role version of Call of Cthulhu, Black Lodge Games, and Indestructiboy both said it's basically a poop RPG, that it's really bad. Like, there's like, I don't know if it was Indestructiboy or the Black Lodge game guys. There's rules for attacking, but not for the NPCs, just for the players. Oh, keep it coming. Russia and China. Gotcha. They're giving me some, they're giving me some riffs, books to think about. But yeah, so
That's yeah. weird.
Well, apparently it was really bad. Oh, here you go. L says it is Critical Role's version of Vaesen using Blades in the Dark rules. Vaesen is kind of a fantasy.
I remember hearing about it, but I don't know much. Blades in the Dark is pretty much, they have two or three rules in the entire set. Maybe just one.
Very, yeah. Well, and the same thing for Candle. What is it called? Candelabra Obscura. Candela Obscura. Some, yeah. I think Patrick's hitting me with some Path of the Storm and Sonic Boom. Those are books. Sonic Boom Trilogy. I think I have the first one. Okay. War Campaign. All right. Lady's giving me some. Tolkien Siege. All right. Yeah, I watched about half of it. I agree with Dice Tales. Black Lodge deconstructed Candela Obscura very well. Those guys really. But it was like, there's almost nothing in that game. You would hate it, Joe. No, you would hate that game. It's just unbelievable. It sounds bad. I mean, I don't know. I've not played it, but I won't, because that doesn't interest me. I'm not a Cthulhu type guy.
Yeah, but you, there's already a Cthulhu game out there that actually has rules to it. So.
Well, it has rules, but it sounds like it's just really incomplete. So, but so you don't have any podcasts that you, well, you've already mentioned yours. What about the other things? Like, I put some company sites and some other things that can inspire me that are media related. There's a couple of Facebook sites that I go to every day. That's the Conservative OSR and RPG Facebook site, as well as the RPG Auctions. That's the RPG Auctions reminds me of, because they're always selling, you know, Fiend Folio or first edition of Deities and Demigods, or every once in a while you'll see a real oh, Garden of the Gods. Thank you, Rejoice. What is a big one I've saw? I've seen the White Box, but I've also seen, oh God, else what was some really obscure stuff. Yeah, not too many blogs though. Not too many blogs. Patrick is saying Candela Obscura is dark candle. I guess it's a, is that a Latin phrase of some sort? Knowing Patrick, is probably, it's probably Latin. I don't know.
Dark candle.
Yeah. Always get inspired by Troll Lord's releases. Even if I don't buy them, I think their books and the things they do are very interesting.
You know, I guess over the years, I've been, I don't know if inspiration is the right word, though. Mm-hmm. When you see a new game and you read the blurb. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, there was the one, you know, absolutely no elves.
Yeah, Talislanta.
Talislanta, right. And there were a few other games that had blurbs in Dragon Magazine. They're like, oh, that sounds really cool. Torg. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I'm probably not going to buy it, but yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some media. Oh, man. Oh, I can't believe I forgot it. Dragon and Dungeon Magazine.
Back absolutely. In the day. Sure.
Even now, I get my old ones out and I'll read them, and they're still inspiring. I mean, they make me think about things I've forgotten about. And I'm like, man, this is a really good idea. Absolutely. How did I forget Dragon Magazine and Dungeon Magazine? Holy crap. Guess because they're defunct. I do collect Mad Scribe by, oh gosh, is it Mad Scribe Games? Yes. And it just so happens I have an article in it, issue two, but I have the first three magazines. And so it's kind of an homage to Dragon Magazine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What about video games or board games or card games? Any of those kind of get your juices flowing for
a little? The thing is that most video games, in my opinion, do things that are video game related, right? Yeah. Sometimes the lore is interesting, but as far as gameplay, not really.
No, the gameplay doesn't. I like the lore behind it more than
anything. It's usually the lore.
And usually when I'm playing something like Talisman or Descent, I'm like, why am I not playing an RPG? That's usually what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of those games are like, yeah, this is cool. It's too bad we're not playing an RPG. And, you know, you can RP a little bit, I guess, with those kinds of games like Talisman.
I do a little, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah. Out of all those different media, if you have others and people are mentioning magazines and such, what do you think is the most inspiring for your gaming? Music, movies, comic books, books?
It's probably a tie between movies and books.
Yeah, I think so too. It's hard to beat that. Though I'll be honest, in this day and age, there are some podcasts that really get me thinking a lot about gaming. That is strange, L. Lore is the thing I hate most. Crossing into games. Oh, you mean like trying? Oh, okay. I'm with you. I thought you were just saying you hated the idea of lore. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. No, you're saying, I get it. Someone bringing their Dragonlance lore into the game. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, especially if they're trying to stick true to the books. Yeah, that can be annoying.
Right. Or I'm going to do Dragonlance, except
I'm going to do Slodlance. They're going to be slads.
Yeah.
Slodlance. Oh.
Tell you what, though, when we first started playing, we didn't. There was a little bit of like world lore, but not a lot. It was mostly us running through adventures.
Yeah, and then saying the Temple of Elemental Evil. Yeah.
We're going to go do these modules. Then you started developing your own stuff, and then that, I think, I always liked that better.
Yeah, I think. It's always, well, because it tends to be tailored to the people at the table. You know, things that I know you guys are going to like are things that, you know, that I thought, oh, they really like this adventure, so they'd love something like this. Or
you can only play Lost Caverns of Sojant so much.
Yeah. You can
only do something different.
We ran modules, I mean, we were never just one module to the next. Mm-hmm. I mean, we played through a lot of them because I had them, but mm-hmm. I would fill in the cracks. We'd go off kilter and do all kinds of crazy stuff, and then when you guys get high enough level, like, oh, they can play in this one, and then I would find some way to get you guys into the Temple of Elemental Evil, you know.
Right.
So
it's almost like you had your game map and you said, well, Lost Caverns is over here, the temple's over here, mm-hmm. Tomb of Horrors is over here, you know, where all the darkness is at, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And well, I guess Temple would be the same thing.
Sure.
Dark cloud over the top of it all the time.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I think there was some, that I kind of liked because I always played in the world of Greyhawk because I had the maps. Mm-hmm. So that's mostly where we were. I never thought of us being in some other. I mean, once I thought of a campaign world, it was always Greyhawk because I was inspired by the Greyhawk maps.
Right.
So the Gazetteer.
Well, and they gave you enough to,
yeah,
to grab onto and make your own, mm-hmm. without having to worry about stepping on anybody's toes.
Yep. And I never read enough of Gygax's official lore, even in the modules, to like stick to it. Right. I just said, oh, elemental and this evil people and fire and earth. And okay, I got it. Yeah. It's all bad gas. I got it. And so I was faking my way through most of it. So it was fun.
That's fine.
Yeah. Hey, you want to tell them to do the things?
Sure.
It's about that time. Let's
get the things out of the way.
Things of doing.
Yes. Yeah, subscribe, like, hit the bell notification if you haven't already. Tell your friends about the show. Hopefully they will come by and get inspired by our inspirations, if that's a thing.
Yes. Okay. Now, this last one, we've dove into this topic before, and I think it's been enough time. I kind of want to find out, this next topic is sort of choosing the right length of time. Maybe first I would bring preferences, and I'm talking like for your campaigns. The long-term campaign, which for me, we will define tonight, a long-term campaign 1 year or longer.
Okay.
Play for a full year. A short-term campaign, maybe 3 to 6 months, or a one shot, which could be one or two sessions. I'll allow it to be a two shot, but not four or five, because then you're dipping into campaign stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So one adventure. How about that? We'll allow a one shot to be one adventure. If you just run a module, to me, that's a one shot.
Yeah.
Though some modules are
shorter ones. Shorter
modules. Yeah, the 32 page. If you ran my module, you know,
yeah,
that would be a one shot. Yeah. So, Joe, if all things being equal, what would you prefer?
Long campaign.
For sure. Just jump into it, play the characters till the wheels come off.
Yeah, I'd say just keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, so let's say
Mac Thompson you're running agrees. The campaign. He agrees with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, long or bust. And for some reason everybody drops out but me.
Mm-hmm.
Or which would actually be me and my wife.
Right.
Then you'd have to do something different. Yeah.
Well, something have to change a little bit, but we could keep going. Yeah. I mean, I could along. There's no reason that I couldn't lose everybody but you and your wife.
Yeah,
and we could keep going with new players. Just build characters around your dudes. And if you're so far up that they can't, your guys can be quote unquote domain playing while everybody else catches up to where you're at.
Right, right.
And they could get to know them.
And it can still, and even if we make new characters, it can technically be the same campaign, especially if it's the same lore, the same regions, all the other things being equal, we're just starting new characters within this campaign, right? I know some people are like, well, the campaign, if you all the characters are dead, well, it's technically a new campaign because it's new characters.
That's how we did. That's what that was my mindset for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Play till you die, like his group did. That was it. Make a character until he's dead. That's your character. That's how we used to do it. I don't think it even dawned on us. I couldn't even envision a player asking to play a different character once you started one.
Yeah.
You got to play him until he dies.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. We don't ask to play new characters. You ask us to play new characters.
I have.
Yeah.
Darth is getting after me. He says, damn your standard, Randy. I've only ran long campaigns. None have lasted less than 1.5 years. Most 2 or more years. Wow. And I thought they were short. Well, compared to the old days, I mean, we thought it. Well, some people think of the campaign as the campaign world. Like, who's the guy that claims he has a campaign that's been running for 40 something years? L says, no, Randy, the GM died, so the group keeps playing the same game until Randy dies. Woo! That could be a long time. I mean, I'm a pretty healthy dude. God's been good, so.
Right, right. So, yeah, what you were saying before with the campaign world, if it's, you can have multiple campaigns within the same world, you can say.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you say a campaign is a set of scenarios around a particular group of characters with an arc associated with it of some kind, then that can be a campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you, because we've been playing mostly very short campaigns. So I've been coming back to this one OSE, which was about to morph into Horde Wars. But it's going to be the same area. It would technically be a different cast of characters, but right within the same Black River Valley.
Right.
So you guys are going to still be
same backdrop.
Backdrop. So I don't know if that's the same. I know when we were younger, we considered it. So like we had a TPK, you guys rolled up new characters. You're at the same spot they were before.
Yeah.
I didn't always think of starting in a new city or a new this. It was, hey, you guys died around Greyhawk. I guess that's where we're playing next time.
Yeah.
So,
and there's nothing wrong with that at all. Okay. Why should you have to make up a new campaign world when everybody dies?
Right. No, there's no
reason for
that. Yeah.
A lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason for that. Do you get much satisfaction out of one shots though?
Huh?
Do you like, I mean, are one, you'll play one shots. I know you.
Yeah.
Will.
Yeah. One shot. Fine. But I prefer the long campaigns, but one shots are fine.
I'm less enthused of one shots now.
Yeah.
I really want to keep something going. I know it doesn't seem like I'm changing systems, but I'm trying to find I want to play a lot of what I have, but I think I'm going to take your I want to take your advice. I think when I change systems, I'm just going to stay in the same campaign world until I figure out.
Can't, unless you're just not wanting to play in it anymore.
Yeah.
Ha ha, L.
That's nice.
According to L, we both have voices for newspaper.
Right on. Oh. Yeah. Why aren't we playing longer campaigns, dude? What's going on? Why aren't we doing it? Is it me? Is it a stinky GM?
There is that part. But I don't think it's the biggest part. Yeah. I think that if we, some of us can tend to flake for multiple sessions. And if it's more than one session, you're ready to call it quits.
I lose motivation. Right. I hate to say it, but I do.
So, and I personally, I don't understand that, but I do. I just don't agree with it.
I think I'm going to be weird. I'm going to agree with you and then give you an excuse. So my excuse is, I honestly think, and this is probably a drawback and connected to what I talked about last week, I have too much crap on my shelves. And when I get too much time to think, like, especially if we played it, I had a big adventure ready, and you guys get through like a third of it, and then we have a huge gap. So I've got it sitting there. I'm like, I don't need to prep anything. I'm ready to go. And then I'm like, start rifling through my shelves. Oh, Hackmaster.
Right.
Oh,
right,
wait a minute. Right, comic right. book. Oh, this, you know, and I'm like, oh, I want to do this. And yeah. And I don't think that I think that I get sidetracked some in my state of mind. I don't, and maybe it's just me. I like to be focused on my campaign. When we played the Seven Spheres years ago, that's all I thought about. That was all that I thought about. I had other games on my shelves.
Right.
They never left the shelf.
Right.
It was just Randy focusing on the Seven Spheres. And I think what I got to do, and Black River is slowly becoming that. I do enjoy that setting. There's a lot in there I want to develop and for you guys to explore. And so I'm not put off by staying there. You know, even if we run Horde Wars or Dungeons and Delvers, whatever it ends up being.
Right.
You know?
I think that some of us let life carry us off and we don't set aside time for fun and doing things like gaming. So, oh, I got this stuff to do, got to do.
Yeah. I think sometimes we just got to, Larry Elliott says time to play is an issue. I think you just have to. I think you just, like you said, we got to set a time, even if it's a small amount of time. I still, there's a part of my head, I hear people doing it. I want to play every week.
Yeah.
But I know that usually means if we did, it would have to be for much smaller snippets of time. We've toyed also with big, we've been trying to get the big day. It's like, we're planning a big day here soon, like near the end of this month. Remember we talked, talked about it, maybe either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or the day after and have a big game day because you're off. To answer L's question, he says, is the amount of games causing that paralysis thing or just preventing long games due to switching them? I think it's really the second part. I think, but it's my fault. It's not them. I just look at something else and get a little distracted. I don't think I'm, a lot of it is I have a lot of games I want to try. And so, I don't know. But I think staying in the same setting will help some continuity. I hope anyway. Right. I hope anyway.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I do, I also think that I should work on being more reliable a player.
Everybody could probably be, including me.
Yeah.
To show up.
That might help.
Yeah, just... I think if we just had a, that's why I was taking like, I think that's what I was talking about. I think we need to, we got to try to find some way to commit to something really hard and just say, this is the game time. And I know some things can happen, but it can't be as, we can't let just every little thing get in the way of
no,
it.
No.
And we tend to do that. I don't mean not just me and you, everybody at the table, we have something we got to do this, that. And you can say it's life, but you know, if you want to enjoy your hobby, you got to make time for it.
Yep.
And so, yeah, It's easier when we had no jobs and we're 16 or 15. And
sure.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, I think that's all I wanted to say about that time. I'm with you. I'm a long-term campaign kind of guy.
Yeah.
Though I can do one shots at cons. Outside of that, I want long-term.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think what you can use the one shots for is a palate cleanser. So you got your campaign going, and then you, let's say, end of a big-ish event.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, we're going to switch gears, not leave the campaign, mm-hmm. but we might switch gears on some level. Right. Let's do this one shot.
Tonight we're going to play Mutants and Masterminds. I have an adventure I bought, and we're going to play it. Here's some pre-gen superheroes, pick them up, and we're going to get right after it, tell the story, and then get back to the campaign. Oh, Mac wants to know if that's your pup. I think the high wine is probably Charlie's.
That's my dog. She went out at 7.
Oh, my.
So right? It's and it's only 9. And she's hollering about, I need to see the outdoors again.
All right.
But there were some folks outside next door. Mm-hmm. And she was looking out the window and barking at them because, you know, dogs do that. That's what all that's that right. barking was about.
Gotcha.
And so I'm keeping her from going downstairs and looking outside at the people outside next door and barking. Right, and right. Now she's whining. You weren't whining a few minutes ago.
Stop it, Elizabeth. Well, why don't we give away some more PDFs?
Yes.
And then for the D12 Days of Horde Wars. And if we can't give 3 away tonight, because I don't know if everybody has one that wants one, we're going to give away 3 PDFs tonight. We got 3 more after this. If we have 3 people that would like a copy of Horde Wars PDF for free, here in a few minutes, Joe will randomly roll and we'll give up to 3 people a copy of Horde Wars. Those that are listening and watching, I hope everybody has gotten their PDF. I know Point Blank is going to be contacting us. He still hasn't gotten his, but I believe everybody else has gotten theirs. So we got 6 more to give away, 3 tonight. If we can't give 3 away, we're thinking about grabbing some random folks on Twitter and saying, hey, you want this? It's yours. So, oh, Mac already bought his. Oh, bummer. All right. So if anybody here would like a copy of Horde Wars for the next minute or two, just put the number 1. That's what you used before, right, Joe? Number 1 in the chat.
Number 1.
And we will give... we'll roll randomly if necessary, or if we get 3 people, they'll each get 1. So we'll need to be contacted either through Discord or email. Darth Theic would like one, a PDF. Mark Markham would like one. So would Dice Tales. Rejoice would like one. We got 4. We're going to be rolling a die.
Rolling a die.
Why don't you start another minute and a half countdown, Joe, and we'll see if folks want one. And we'll be doing this again next week. So if you don't get one tonight, come back next week, and you'll have a shot at 3 more given away. It's a good game. It's soon to be Horde Wars Advanced, but right now it's just basic first tier. But your characters are pretty boss. It's a good fantasy game. So far we got 4 people. We may have to do like last week, which was sad, where we rolled to see who doesn't get one.
I don't know, sad. It's just, it's easier.
It is easier. How much time we got?
1 minute.
1 minute, folks. So I got, I was telling the folks before I got my second issue of The Wraith of God. It's one of those.
It's a comic.
Comic by Aaron Lopresti. And it's the second issue. And haven't read it yet, but it came in today. I really enjoyed it. It's got kind of a dark Deadlands feel to it. And I'm going to be getting Alpha Corps 1 should be coming in this week. I'm excited about that. My buddy... my man Chuck Dixon, not my buddy, but
you got the Isom number 2,
1 and 2, and then getting Alpha. Yeah, I've been enjoying them. I haven't read Isom 2 yet, I need to read it, but I have enjoyed 1 and a little. It was a good first outing, and I think Alpha Corps 1 is going to be awesome. I'll probably be more of an Alpha Corps fan because I do like Chuck. I like Chuck Dixon.
Chuck Dixon,
yeah. Oh, here's a comment. I think he means Presto from the D&D. He said, buy Presto at Ollie's Feta D4.
Get a D4
for $4, maybe. Yeah, I heard this. Hasbro dumped everything to Ollie's, preventing paying taxes on leftover. Yeah, you can get
Ollie's. Like, is that store that we have here?
Yeah, dude, a bunch of D&D crap for like dirt cheap. I think like $5
fifth edition, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
All right, we have our four.
We have four folks. So you're gonna now. Unfortunately, guys, here's how it's gonna work. Joe's gonna roll a four-sided die. Darth is one. Dice Tails is two. Mark Markham is three. Rejoice 85 is four. When he hits whatever number he rolls, it's a sad. You don't get one.
Take Darth out. He has a physical copy. So we can just say we have our three. Dice Tails, Mark Markham, and Rejoice.
Okay. Then you guys get it. Mark Markham, Dice Tails, and Rejoice.
So we just need you to send us an email so that we know where to send the link to. I cannot email the PDF itself, it's too big. So I will send you a link. We can, so if we get your email, that'd be great. You can send it to us on Discord if you are on Discord. If not, you can send it to, let's see, I'm going to put my email here.
Okay.
CIVAR@yahoo.com.
Yeah, Random Rick Reviews. Those Kryn board games at my Ollie's were gone in 1 week, and it was quite a bit of them. Yeah, I think people are buying them in sort of like speculation sort of way. So, Charlotte was cutting.
You got the giveaway already. Same giveaway.
You already won that. You won last, was it last week Charlotte won or the week before?
Week before.
Yeah. So we're going to give that. Yeah. So say it again, Joe. How can they? Oh, you sent it in. There it is. Those of our.
I just put an email there in chat. Just send your email. You know, send us an email through that, and I'll reply with the link.
Yeah. So, Rejoice85 and Mark Markham and Dice Tails, congratulations. So, yeah, I may have to go to Ollie's just to see if there's something cheap I want there. Who was it? L mentioned there's GM kits, only $3 for tiles and monster sets. That could be worth it. You're not giving Watsy any money.
Okay. Well, there might be, if it's general Hasbro stuff, there might be stuff that's not D&D there that might be good.
Yeah. Who knows? All right.
All right. So
you got any news from no call-ins or emails, right?
No call-ins or emails. I already talked about Big Geek Emporium being reachable, but slow. And the, migration is happening just as slow.
Yes. Sorry about that, folks, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. As soon as the migration is complete, I will post and we will all know and we'll all be able to enjoy the Big Geek Emporium as it was.
Okay. Well, all the show notes, all the links and stuff we normally talk about are going to be found in the show notes now. So I think we're about ready to scoot out of here, aren't we, Joe?
Yeah, I think we're going to be out of here a little early.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. Sometimes we get people out of here quick. It's pretty good. Thanks for everybody for showing up. We had a good crowd. It was good to see everybody. I mean, it's hard to even list. We had so many cool people tonight. But anything else you want to say, Joe? I think we're going to boogie, bro.
No, I think it's time to scoot.
All right. Well, this is Randy.
And this is Joe.
And remember, if you can't be big like us, then be geeks like us.